If you're listening to WROC Radio in Rochester, New York, 11 degrees outside, next, CBS.
The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. Welcome to a wonderful world of your own making. I'm Tom Bosley. Come with me to the world of radio drama, a theater whose stage has no limits but your imagination, where adventure is yours for the listening, where you can be anything you dream, armored knight or lovely princess, magician or monster, hero or even villain, sail seas, scale mountains, explore galaxies, all in your own minds. Do anything, anywhere, anywhen, on the wonderful stage of your own imagination.
Let me in! Open the door! Open it! Who's there? Hello! It's your nephew! Get him out! Open up!
My nephew!
Oh,
see, my nephew is
dead! Open up and see for yourself!
You're a ghost! Go away!
No, I'm no ghost.
Davy, I thought you were dead.
You hoped I was dead, Uncle. You planned for me to die.
Our adventure today is Robert Louis Stevenson's Kidnapped, adapted especially for General Mills Adventure Theater by Paul Tripp, and stars Christopher Tabori. We'll be back shortly with Act One. Robert Louis Stevenson, who wrote Kidnapped and so many other great stories, was a sick man all of his life. With his perpetual poor health, he could never have actively participated in the adventures he so vividly created. But though his footsteps were slow, his imagination soared higher than the sky and flew faster than an eagle. Only an imagination as powerful as his could have carried David Balfour to the lowlands and highlands of romantic Scotland.
My father died. I was all alone in the world and as poor as a church mouse. The only inheritance my father had left me was a mysterious piece of paper.
There you are, Davy. I looked for you in the house, but you weren't there.
It's not mine anymore, Mr. Campbell. It's been sold for my father's debts. All I have left is this rock to sit on.
Aye, it's a sad, sad world. Will you stay here or go elsewhere to seek your fortune?
Elsewhere, I guess. But exactly where, I haven't the faintest notion.
Well, then perhaps this letter will send you off in the proper direction. When your father was dying, he gave me this, saying, tell Davy to deliver this to the address I have written on the envelope. Tell him he will find his good fortune there. Take it, lad.
It says here, this letter is to be delivered to Mr. Ebenezer Balfour of the House of Shaws, outside the town of Queensferry. Do you know who this man is, Mr. Campbell? We have the same name, but I've never heard of him.
Nor have I, lad. But from speaking to your father, I learned that the Balfour family was a respectable one and very rich.
Of which my father had none.
Now, don't be bitter, David. It ill becomes you. Perhaps this Ebenezer Balfour is the rich one in the family. That's why your father wanted you to deliver this letter. He told me he was certain you would be well received.
And so I went. It was a 3-day journey on foot. Shoe leather was all I could afford. So I walked. On the third day, when I could see the church steeples of Queensferry in the distance, I began to inquire as to the whereabouts of the mysterious Ebenezer Balfour. Everywhere I inquired, the name of Ebenezer Balfour brought an unfriendly response. It was growing dark when I finally came to a rusty, weather-beaten sign dangling from one nail. The sign read, House of Shores. No trespassing. Bolt of lightning lighted up the sky. And now I saw the house where I had hoped to find a friendly welcome. It was the dreariest place I had ever seen. It stood like a threatening claw against the sky. A ruin of a house. No answer. I was of a mind to give it up as a bad job. Then I got angry. I hadn't come this far for nothing.
You down there! Who comes to disturb the sleep of an honest man? What do you want?
I'm here with a letter for Mr. Ebenezer Balfour of Shores.
Well, slip it under the door and be off with you.
I'll do no such thing. Nobody treats David Balfour like that.
Is your name David Balfour?
Aye, that's what they call me.
Is your father dead then?
How know you that?
He must be dead to be sure. And that's what brings you here. Well then, wait there and I'll let you in. Now give me Alexander's letter.
You know my father's name.
It would be strange if I didn't, for wasn't he my own brother?
You're my uncle.
Aye. Your loving Uncle Ebenezer. Welcome to the House of Shores, nephew. Now give me that letter. My brother always had a good hand. Do you know what he's written, boy? Is that what's brought you here?
I only came to deliver the letter. That's all I know.
But you have high hopes. I'll take you in and share my fortune with you, boy.
I confess I did hope you might help me out. But I'm no beggar. I'm willing to work for my keep.
Oh, I'll do right by you, Davy. Have no fear. And to prove it to you as a sign of good faith, I'll give you the gold coins I promised at your birth, and I'll do it now.
That's very kind of you, sir.
And to show how much I trust you now, you'll fetch me my money chest, your own self.
Oh, now, Uncle, there's really no hurry.
There is. The money was coming to you when you were born. It's high time you got what was coming to you. You know, go through this door. Then you'll climb to the top of those steps. And under the roof at the top, you'll find the money chest.
It's very dark up there. May I have a candle to show me the way?
Lad, you young eyes can see in the dark. Besides, candles are very expensive. We'll not waste our money, will we, Davy? Well, what are you waiting for? Your good fortune waits for you at the top of the stairs.
It was so dark on that circular stone stairway, I could scarce see my hand before me. I huddled against the wall and groped my way upward like a blind man. I thought the steps would never end. Then a blast of wind told me I was reaching the top. I was about to climb another step when a flash of lightning lit up the sky, and I saw I was standing on the last step. Beyond, there was nothing but emptiness. Another step, and I would have gone crashing down to the cruel stones waiting below. My uncle had tricked me. He had sent me to my death. Yes, Uncle. I'm alive. No thanks to you. You sought to cheat me out of my inheritance by killing me.
Oh, you've misjudged me. I'm a lonely old man. Oh, cruel boy, to think such evil thoughts. I had it in mind to leave you all my wealth when I died.
And while you lived, what then?
What then? Why, to share with you, of course. What's mine is yours. Can you not believe that?
No, I cannot. I would rather believe the devil himself.
Would you believe Mr. Rankin, then?
Rankin? Who's he?
Lawyer Rankin, the man who knew your father and loved him.
If there's any truth left in you, then yes, I would believe him. Where shall we find him?
He practices the law in Queensferry. We'll go to him first thing in the morning. He'll hear the truth from his very own mouth.
Is this the way to Mr. Rankin's office, Uncle? I thought this place was in the center of town.
And so it is, lad.
But then why are we heading towards the docks? What about seeing Lawyer Rankin as you promised last night?
Oh, he can wait a little while. What a few more moments in a young lad's life. Do you see that brig out there in the harbor? It's called the Covenant. I've half a share in it. It's about to weigh anchor. I would speak to my partner, Captain Hoseason, before he sails. Oh, there he is. Oh, there, Captain. A word with you. Wait here, lad. I'll be but a moment.
Good morning, Mr. Balfour. What brings you here?
I have a new bit of business to transact with you, Captain.
Well, be quick. I'll sail within 2 hours.
It'll be to your advantage. Do you see that lad standing over there? He's my nephew, David.
Fine looking lad. What about him?
I want you to take him along with you and never to bring him back.
Never bring him back?
Aye. He's never to see Scotland again.
What do you want done with him?
At your first port of call in the American colonies, sell him as a servant. You can keep the price of his purchase for yourself. But the trick will be to get him aboard the ship.
Trust me.
Good. Oh, Davy, lad. Come and meet the captain.
Good day to you, Captain. You have a fine ship out there.
That I have. How'd you like to come aboard before we sail and see what a fine vessel it is?
No, thank you, sir. My uncle and I have some business with a lawyer.
Oh, Mr. Anken can wait a little while longer. The day is young yet.
Well,
come along, young Balfour. Have a look-see. That ship will be yours someday, from what your uncle tells me.
Well, all right. But, Uncle, you'll come along with me where I can keep my eyes on you.
Of course, laddie. Oh, you still don't trust me?
No, Uncle. I'm sorry. But I don't.
Well, what do you think of her, boy?
Well, she's a fine ship, Captain. But hadn't we better go up on deck now? I've taken enough of your time. What's that?
We'll weigh an anchor. We're sailing, boy.
Where's my uncle?
Out there, being rowed back to the docks.
What does this mean, Captain? Why are you kidnapping me?
No, young man. Say rather, I'm taking you on a voyage.
No. Help! Help!
Out, blast!
Help! I'm being kidnapped!
What drives men like Captain Hoseason and Ebenezer Balfour to do the things they do? Is it greed? Probably. But how do they get away with it? They're wily men who talk so much about their honesty that pretty soon their victims begin to believe them. Just like David Balfour, who lies unconscious. We'll rejoin David shortly with Act Two. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. Millions of people have come to America in the past 200 years, but none have gone as unwillingly as David Balfour. David is a prisoner on a ship that would someday be his, if his Uncle Ebenezer is to be believed, which I doubt. Well, live and learn. I imagine that when young David wakes up, he'll be an older and wiser boy. At least I hope so.
I lay unconscious for 2 days. On the second day, a kick in the ribs awakened me. Oh, my head.
I warned you. I told you to keep your mouth shut.
Captain Hoseason, where am I?
Aboard the good ship Covenant. What else? We're turning now for the open sea. Come along on deck. You can bid a last fond farewell to Scotland.
Fog rolling in, I saw the dim outline of the coast of Scotland fast fading away. I felt tears sting my eyes.
Cry if you want to, boy. But it's the last you'll ever see of Scotland.
What was that, Mr. Carr? What's happening?
It's colliding with something in the fog!
Look, Captain! A rowboat! Captain, too!
Throw that man down there alive! Somebody move! Hurry!
The
captain of this ship blind? Has he no eyes?
In the fog, sir, no one has eyes. My apologies.
Well, accepted. And now, in return, you will oblige me by sailing me to the place I was bound for. You've made me miss the ship that would have taken me there.
And where might that be?
The coast of France.
Did you hear that, man? Our friend wants us to take him to France.
No one laughs at Alan Breck. And you'll find there's a sharp sting at the tip of his sword.
Oh, cool off, man. You expect me to turn the ship around for one little bedraggled rooster? Hey, what's it? You almost nicked me.
And the next time I'll draw blood. Is it France, or is it not?
We can't, man. We're bound for America.
Correction, you're bound for France.
You're out of your mind.
Of all I that I am. But I'm also in the money. Will you feel the heft of this money belt, Captain? That's the sound of gold you're hearing. Take me to France, and half the gold is yours.
Well, why didn't you say so in the first place? I'll take my payment now.
Ah, not so fast. Payment on arrival.
Don't you trust me?
In a word, no.
Neither do I. Now you'll want to dry your clothes. You can use that cabin yonder. I'll change our course to France.
Much obliged, Captain.
Coxswain. Coxswain, come here. A word with you.
Yes, Captain.
Did you see that fat money belt?
That I did. Half of it is yours if you land that fool in France.
And if I get rid of him altogether?
Then all of it is yours.
Gather up five of the crew, and within an hour at 6 bell sharp, we'll pay a visit to our friend, Mr. Breck.
The captain? He has sent him to the cabin where we keep our weapons. If he catches on to us, we're in a pickle. He could hold us at bay for days.
Well, then we'll just have to get him out of the cabin.
All this time, I stood there unnoticed in the fog, listening to the murderous scoundrels. My blood ran cold. Alan Breck must be warned. Not only because I wanted to save the man's life. I hardly knew him. But I also had a debt I wanted to pay back to Captain Hoseason for kidnapping me. Mr. Breck.
And don't you knock when you visit a gentleman?
I've come to warn you. The captain's planning to murder you.
Do you call that news, laddie?
You knew?
I can read faces. The moment I stepped on board, I could spell out the word villainy written on the captain's face. Well, what's your name?
David Balfour.
Balfour? Sounds like a name from the Lowlands, and I can't stand people from the Lowlands. I come from the Highlands myself. So I'll call you plain David. And you may call me Alan.
I don't care what you call me. They're coming to kill you. Doesn't that worry you?
Not a whit. Not if you stand by me. Will you stand by me, David?
I will. Now, for heaven's sake, will you tell me what your plan is? They'll be here in an hour.
My plan? Simple. To fight, of course. Have you armed, David?
No, but there are plenty of weapons in that cupboard over there.
Well, then let's break it open. How kind of the captain to supply us with arms. Can you use a sword, David?
No. I never learned. But I know how to shoot a gun.
What's to worry about, then? We're an army now. All right, General David. Let's load the guns.
Alan, mind if I ask you a personal question?
Oh, no secrets between friends. Ask.
Why do you wish to go to France? You're a Scotsman. Why not stay in your own country?
Oh, and find myself with a noose around my neck? No, thank you. There's a price on my head.
But why? You don't look like a murderer or a thief to me.
Why, David, you're beginning to like me. No, my young friend. I am worse than a murderer or a thief. I'm a rebel. And that's why I go to France, to rejoin my leader, Bonnie Prince Charlie, and make him King of Scotland.
That traitor!
Watch it, David. Say another word about that blessed man, and I'll slit your gizzard and fight the ship's crew by myself.
But he rebelled against King George, the rightful ruler of England.
Yes, David, King of England, but not King of Scotland. Ah, David, if only you knew how your cruel king's men act in Scotland, oppressing and stealing from our poor innocent people. And there's that traitor Scotsman, Colin Roy, the one they call the Red Fox. The horrible things he does in your dear King George's name. If ever you meet him, David, don't stop to say good morning to him. Aim between his eyes and shoot him dead.
Alan, the time's come.
Mr. Black, I was thinking you might be famished. Will you dine with me in my cabin?
Well, what a noble thought, Captain. I'll be out in a moment.
No, you're not going out there. There are too many of them.
Aye, but there's more swinging room from a sword. Stand by me with your guns in hand. Don't shoot until I tell you. And mind your aim, David. I've no taste for a bullet in the back.
Well, here I am, Captain Deer. As the fly said to the spider.
Come here!
How does the little busy bee improve his shining hour by singing with his sharp little sword? Now, David, shoot!
Captain, he hit the helm!
David, I thought you were a good shot.
I hit something, didn't I?
Captain, we hit the reef!
The ship's sinking! Make all aboard!
David, it was a good shot after all. When you hit the helmsman, you sank the ship. Good lad.
You can congratulate me later. Right now, we better save ourselves.
When we landed in the water, I lost sight of Alan Breck. Had he drowned? Well, there was no time to think about that. I headed for land. Finally, I made shore. A desolate place. Not a living soul to be seen, except for a flock of gulls. Alan! Alan! Where are you, Alan? I sat down and wanted to cry. Alan was dead. The first friend I ever made was dead.
Ahoy there! You there, ahoy!
A human voice that seemed to come from the sea. I ran toward the voice. A man was rowing a boat toward me.
Ahoy there! What's your name?
David Balfour!
David Balfour, did you say? Then you're the one I'm looking for!
I've searched for you the whole day long.
But how did you know I was missing? How did you know my name?
A little bird told me.
What? Oh, will you stop speaking in riddles?
A little bird with a tall, proud feather in his hat.
What? Oh, wait a minute. Do you mean Alan Breck?
He's alive. He didn't drown. Oh, I'm not mentioning any names. Now, will you hop into the boat so as I can take you to the man who told me to find you?
I'm much obliged to you, mister. You've saved my life. How you find me? I'll always wonder.
Well, you can stop your wondering now, lad. Haven't I the sharpest eyes in the Highlands? Now, why don't you take a little snooze? You must be that tired. I'll wake you when we get to Torosay.
Torosay? What's that word?
It's a town where the sea shakes hands with the Highlands. Now, will you sleep? Stop your jabbering.
I will. I am tired. Oh, Alan's alive, isn't he? Alive.
Wake up, lad. Wake up.
What? Oh. I'll be there. Torosay.
Aye, Torosay. Now, give me your hand. And you'll set your first step in the Highlands, the glory of Scotland.
I thank you, mister. Now, where is he? Where is
Shut
Alan?
Shut your mouth, lad.
Well, what's all the mystery? Well, I ask.
Don't what's... get it through your head. There's no Alan Breck.
Well, I know there's a price on his
oh,
head.
Oh,
but...
you know that, do you? Then he's probably told you about the cursed man they call Red Fox.
Yes. What about this man, the Red Fox?
He's here. He's come to Torosay. If he hears that our friend is not in France, then he'll hunt him down and hang him.
Oh,
indeed. Now listen and do as I tell you. You'll walk to the end of the high street. Then you'll turn left into the main road and walk a mile. And when you come to a signpost that says 1 mile to Torosay, turn right and walk 30 paces. Whistle 3 times. Then watch. Like this. And then maybe, mind you, you'll find your friend. The little bird with the tail feather in his cap. Now go along with you. Mind your step. And above all, mind your tongue. There's a knife at stake.
Well, I minded my step. But alas, I didn't mind my tongue. I had just reached the signpost when a group of horsemen almost ran me down.
You idiot! Mind where you're going! You almost ran me down!
Oh, there! Who calls me an idiot?
I do, and proud. Oh, you're the Red Fox.
I am that. But who told you? We've never met.
Alan Br...
How did you say...
Alan Breck. No. I said nothing.
You said Alan Breck. Is that rebel back in Scotland?
No, he's in France.
That devil he is. He's in Torres, eh? And you're his accomplice. Well, now we'll have a double hanging party. Seize him, men.
Hey!
I ran
as if the devil were after me. It sounded like the whole British army was trying to fill me with bullet holes.
It's Alan. They're after me, and you as well.
Well, what should I do?
Do? What kind of a question is that, boy? We run for our lives. That's what we do.
Through a lifetime, we meet all kinds of people. The good, the cruel, the generous, the greedy. But I doubt if any of us have met such a variety of strange characters in as short a time as David Balfour. A conniving uncle, a murderous sea captain, a short-tempered adventurer, and now the whole British Army. David seems to have a talent for trouble. We'll rejoin him shortly. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. A wise man once said, "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." Well, evidently, both David Balfour and Alan Breck agree completely with this sentiment. How else can we explain their strange friendship? A loyal subject of King George teamed up with a soldier of Bonnie Prince Charlie? How else do you figure it out? Well, don't ask David. He's too busy running for his life.
All right, David. We can take a breather now. We've lost the King's men. For a while, anyway.
What's happened to Captain Hossein and his crew?
Oh, they took to the boats and left me hanging onto an oar.
Well, good riddance to them, one way or the other. Now, are we going to sit here all day and gab while we wait for the soldiers to catch up with us?
No, we'll not stay here like sitting ducks. But 100 yards from here, beyond those trees, there's a house where a friend lives. I'll pay him a little visit, get the news, and ask his advice.
Oh, can't I come with you?
Nay, lad. My friend's a fierce enemy of your king. He would think you a spy.
Well, now, that's what I call a pretty kettle of fish. The king's soldiers are against me. Your friends are against me. Is there anyone for me?
I am, David, me bonny lad. And that's the best side of the world to be on. Now, I'll not be long.
I waited and waited. It felt like forever. I wished I was back at my father's house.
Alan! Alan! Is that you?
He's one of them! Put your hand up or I'll put a bullet through you.
No, don't shoot. I'm a loyal subject of His Majesty King George.
You're a lying puppy. I know your face. You're the boy that stopped us on the road when Red Fox was killed. You were the decoy. Now, where's the other one?
No, what other one?
The killer. The man known as Alan Breck.
Well, he didn't take... I mean, who's Alan Breck? I never heard that name before.
You didn't, he? You're a liar, boy. Private, keep your musket trained on him, and I'll stand behind this tree and wait for the other to come along. And when he comes, I'll give him a couple of feet of cool steel. That must be the other one now.
Run, Alan! Run!
Why, you are kill you for that!
Let keep me first! Run, Alan! Run!
Alan Brett, you're under arrest!
Oh, am I now?
be on the run. The other soldiers will be on our necks any moment now. But where do we run?
Well, I was told there's a deep river not too far from here. It separates the Highlands from the Lowlands. There'll be a ferry waiting for us. Once we cross, we'll be safe. Come on, let's go, Lenny. David, do you see the reflection yonder? Behind those trees? That's the river, and we're almost there.
They've spotted us. Do you see the ferry, lad?
Not a sign. We can't wait, Alan. We'll have to swim for it.
Well, you swim for it, Davy. I'll stay here and make a stand.
You're gone daft, Alan. They'll kill you.
I know, but one way or the other, I'm a dead man. For the truth is, Davy, I swim like a stone.
I'm a strong swimmer. I'll help you.
Nay, lad, I'll stay here. You go.
Are you afraid of the water, then? Fine Highlander you are.
Nobody calls Alan Breck a coward.
Oh, land under my feet. At last.
Land.
We're safe now. That's all that counts. We're near Queensferry. We'll go there. We'll find you a ship and the money to sail on her.
Isn't that where your Uncle Ebenezer lives?
It is.
And are you expecting that he'll give the money? He who had you kidnapped to steal your inheritance?
No, I'll not go to my loving uncle. I'll go to Lawyer Rankin. He was a friend of my father's. I was told.
What can I do for you, young man?
I wish to speak to Mr. Rankin.
I am Mr. Rankin. And what might your name be?
David Balfour, sir.
David Balfour, do you say? Well, come in. Come in. We have much to speak of. Now, what might your business be?
I have reason to believe that I may have rights to the estate of Shaws, which is now in possession of Ebenezer Balfour.
Right to the point, eh? Your uncle told me he had given you a great sum of money and sent you off to Germany to get a fine education.
He's a liar.
No, we'll call no names. From what Ebenezer Balfour told me, your ship had been wrecked.
Yes, that's true.
And you had been drowned on June 27th. It is now August 24th. An empty space of 2 months unaccounted for. Fill in that empty hole, and you'll convince me.
I'll do better than that. I'll produce a witness.
Ah, that's better. When can I speak to him?
Now, sir.
My name is Alan Breck.
You're placing yourself in great danger, mister. You are aware of that.
I am. But David is my friend, and I'll risk as much for him as he's risked for me these past 2 months.
Tell me your story, and let me judge the truth of the matter. A wilder tale I've never heard, but it rings true. David Balfour, I'm convinced you are who you say you are. The estate of Shaws rightfully belongs to you. Your father and uncle were both in love with the same young woman when they were young. Your mother, David. And when she married your father, your uncle Ebenezer was heartbroken. To ease the pain, your father, who was the elder, signed over his entire fortune to Ebenezer.
Then the fortune does belong to him, after all.
And to you as well. Your father provided that upon his death, half of the fortune would go to you. Though I'm sure your uncle would argue otherwise.
Supposing I wangled it out of him, unbeknownst to him.
He'd need a witness, and you would not dare show your face on the stand.
But would you consider yourself a good witness, Mr. Rankin?
Well, that I would, if you'll forgive my modesty.
Then it's as good as done. We three will now pay a visit to our dear old Uncle Ebenezer.
Hide behind this tree, you two. Not a sound out of you.
And now, David, I'll have a cozy little chat with your loving uncle. Open up there. I've news for you.
Who's that breaking my door down this time of night?
Open the door and see for yourself.
Who are you, man? I don't know you.
And mind the blunderbuss I'm aiming at you.
I am minding.
What do you want?
A bit of information. Do you know a lad named David?
What David? I know no David.
Shall I give you the rest of the name, then?
No, no, no. State your business and be off with you.
I'm here on a matter of ransom money.
Ransom money? For whom?
Why, for your dear nephew David, of course.
He's been kidnapped. I'd heard he was drowned.
Nay, he's alive and well. Tell me, good sir, do you know a man called Captain Hoseason?
I never heard of him.
Never heard of your own partner who once owned a ship with you?
You know that, do you? Well, what of it?
He told me many things about you. Things that would interest a judge and send you to jail.
Lies, all lies. Oh, come now, man. Why should we argue? Tell me what price he'll take as ransom.
Ah, now you're talking sense. I'll take the same price you paid Captain Hoseason for kidnapping David.
It's a lie. I never had David kidnapped. I swear it. Did the captain tell you that?
Oh, aye, he did. And he also told me you gave him 10 gold pieces for the deed.
He lies. I gave him 20. What have I said?
Enough to send you to prison for life, Ebenezer Balfour.
Good morning, Uncle.
David! You're alive! It was a trap!
And well sprung, if I do say so myself. Well, David, it's off to France I'm leaving, thanks to you.
I see you bought yourself a new feather for your hat.
It's almost as long as your sword.
And it's a grand new suit of clothes you're wearing yourself. You look like a fine peacock, Mr. David Balfour. Well, Davy, we meet again. Bless you, lad. And the next time you're born, do it in the Highlands. For in my heart, you'll always be the grandest Highlander of them all.
Throughout history, there have been famous examples of great friendships. But the things that happen between man and boy can be especially wonderful. Even though Alan and David were apart in ages, they admired each other and were true to each other. Each holding fast to his own belief, each respecting the other's belief. That's the stuff that genuine friendships are made of. I'll be back shortly. It's an old bromide that history repeats itself. 200 years ago, Scotland fought to win its independence from England and failed. Today, according to the news, Scotland is again demanding some measure of independence from England. Nothing seems to change except the costumes. History does keep repeating itself, but it never gets boring, does it? Cast included Christopher Tabori, Robert Dryden, Ian Martin, Bill Griffiths, and Paul Tripp. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.